keep your finger in there, because we will be referring to that passage for the rest of this lesson time. I'm going to speak on trivial disputes, okay? Small matters, small problems among Christians in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll read the first 8 verses. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? That's where we get the idea of trivial disputes, the small matters. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of the things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and here's the key. Brother goeth to law with brother, and that before unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Now here's another key. Why do you not rather take wrong? Okay, for God's sake. Why don't you rather suffer wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Now that's pretty strong, isn't it? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Let's pray. Lord, I just ask, as we study the different aspects of the local church, different areas, that tonight you'll open our minds to this area of how to handle problems between ourselves. Lord, there's many of us. We're all human. There's no doubt that we do have problems one with another. And I pray that we would handle them scripturally in the way you would have us to, so our church and our reputation wouldn't be hurt. In your name we pray. Amen. Now tonight I want to show how believers should suffer wrong. You saw that. Suffer wrong before taking other believers to civil courts in trivial matters. And we'll get into, okay, what's a trivial matter? God has ordained 3 institutions, we know, the home, the church, and the human government. And there should not be any conflict between these 3 institutions. There are boundaries that are given. Now, we are citizens of the world, and so we have to function according to the laws of both worlds. Our spiritual calling is the highest. What God wants us to do is more important than what President Obama wants us to do. But we do live in America, and we should go by the laws of America. The Bible says, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. The Corinthians were confusing their obligations, and they were taking the things which were God's to Caesar. And the jurisdiction of the church and civil courts differ. The church has no power to punish criminal matters. In other words, if you steal something, you kill somebody, you break the civil laws, we have no power to punish in these matters. However, the church does, and this is what I want you to understand clearly tonight. The church does have the right and the obligation to deal with moral and spiritual matters. The law deals with points of law, and the church deals with points of contention. So you understand, we're not poking our nose in your business as far as God's concerned when we deal with spiritual matters. That's our job. That's the job of the church. Now, Paul asked them to use common sense. Paul asked the Corinthians to be spiritual and to have faith. We see in verse 4, if then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. In verses 2 and 3, Paul's reminded them that they had more spiritual authority than they realized, that they would judge fallen men and they will judge angels. Some of you will enjoy that, I think. But if that's true, why can't you judge things pertaining to this life? That's the idea that Paul has here. And the tragedy is that all those problems continue today. I probably don't know many of them. I'm not saying that you're taking people to court, but sometimes people just don't get along, and that shouldn't be. We have a Bible, and we have a way to deal with these things. Again, Christians act as if they have no spiritual discernment, even in the most simple matters, and often don't get along with each other. And we live in a day, and we haven't had this problem, but we live in a day that's sue crazy. Everybody wants to sue. And you would be surprised how many times it happens in churches. Like I say, I don't think it's ever happened in the history of our church, but it does happen. Now, what this passage is saying, that it's better to have the humblest believer in the church handle these matters than to spread them before the unsaved. The unsaved, how can they judge in spiritual matters? They let murderers go, don't they? They let rapists go. They want to put Christians in jail for spanking their children. Give divorces for nothing. I mean, they just throw divorce around, and that's all against the Bible. So again, what we're saying is that civil authorities don't have any reason, they have no ability to deal with spiritual matters. Nothing can happen between born-again Christians that can't be settled by prayer and the Scripture and counsel by spiritually minded believers. If there's marital problems, and again, I think so many times you're too proud. You don't want to come to the preacher. You don't want to let anybody know, and so you let your marriage go to the devil. But you should be able to get help. You should be able to get counseling for your marriage. Two saved people arguing, or money problems between Christians. Now, that I've had many times. People come to me where they're arguing about something or have money disputes. But nothing can happen between Christians that can't be taken care of. The world has nothing to help us with. And you got to understand that. Nothing to help us with if both are willing to submit. Dr. Vogel and I were talking about that. That's the key. Both have to submit, not only one. Now, Paul tries to shame the Corinthians by showing them how unscriptural they are, and he sarcastically chides them because of their lack of wisdom and the fact that they're carnal Christians and they lack spiritual discernment. Now, when I was a younger pastor in particular, I tried to figure out how apparently spiritual people could make such stupid decisions. But since I've gained my gray hair, I've come to the conclusion they weren't spiritual people, because spiritual people don't make stupid decisions. And again, the answer is they're carnal. And so we have carnal Christians in here. We certainly have carnal Christians in our church. And you say, what's a carnal Christian? They think like the world. Okay? So if they think like the world and we're thinking spiritually, especially the worse our country gets, they go further and further away from the Bible, and they won't listen to spiritual counsel. But within the church, there should be spiritually minded saints who can arbitrate between two disagreeing and disputing Christians. But again, they must both participate. In a church situation, it would be the pastor or assistant pastors that you'd come to. Deacons should be able to help. They should be able to act as spiritual arbitrators. I believe that the reason that people don't come to their pastor is because they know they're wrong. Okay? They know they're wrong, and so why do they want to come and be told that they're wrong? Especially since you have such a blunt pastor. I'm not going to beat around the bush, and I think that's good. I think your future pastor is just as blunt. I am enjoying watching him get into action. You will hear him this Sunday in action. In this case, they were going to court over the smallest matters, and it suggests that the church had no authority. They were erring, and this is the key, their dirty wash before the lost and bringing reproach to the cause of Christ. Now keep your finger here and turn to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. We always talk about Matthew 18. We'll start reading what Jesus has to say at verse 15. Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Now, is that hard? Isn't that simple? You have a problem. I heard that she was gossiping. What does the Bible say if you heard that she's been gossiping about you? What should you do? Go to her alone. And that's the key. If you get blabbing, you foul the whole thing up. If somebody's doing wrong, and it normally is doing wrong against you, if that's what your bother is, you don't go talking to everybody. You don't go to the pastor. You're just going to complicate things when you go to the pastor. What I have found in instances like this, that if you just go to him almost every time, if you go to him, not like, I heard you are gossiping about me, and I'm going to do meh. You know, no, you go to him and say, I heard something. I don't know whether it's right or not, but I want to come. And not act holier than thou or anything like that. You know, almost every time it's all settled. Right there. But if you go to him and say, I talked to the preacher about this, and he told me to come to you, you blew it. Okay, you started a fight. You understand? Isn't the Bible practical? Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, he's done wrong, then you go to him as a Christian, and you tell him his fault between you and thee, and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained a brother. There it goes. There it's taken care of. And I say again, I don't know. I always use percentages. I'd say 85, 90% of the time it's taken care of. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Now, again, you understand what that means. Now, they said, no, you're wrong. Like maybe let's say they owe you $100. And you go to them and you say, now, I let you have the $100, but you're supposed to pay me back. And you haven't paid me back, and it's getting stretched out here. Well, they say, no, I don't owe you $100. You're crazy. You gave that to me. You didn't lend it to me. Ooh. Well, then you go and most likely have the pastor go with you, that it might be established. Okay? Now, it's normally not $100. What is it normally? Say it. Come on. Well, one's brave enough. It's gossip. It's gossip. That's what it normally is. It's what it normally has been in our church all these years. It's gossip. And so, I hear somebody say, the preacher's getting fatter. And I say, Daniel's fatter than me. He's up here smiling. I had to say that. Nah, it's worse than fatter. I mean, if the truth shouldn't hurt you, you know. But they say something that's not just mean, but it's going to hurt your reputation. And your reputation is worth something. And they say, you know, I think they're sinning in this way or that, or I believe this is wrong. And again, it's usually some backslidden person that wants to just stir things up. They're wrong. They want others to look wrong then. That's what always happens. And so you go to them, and if it's something serious like that, for sure you have the pastor with you because you want to establish it. You understand? You establish it. That's what the Bible says. That he says, you know, I said it and I don't care. Well, you need to repent. You need to get things straight. Are you listening, college students? You live in a dorm together. You have to act like Christians. Okay, and that's the way you do it. You need to repent. Well, I'm not going to, but it's established then, isn't it? Now the pastor heard it, and it's two people heard it. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it on to the church. Uh-oh. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Wow. That's rough, isn't it? So what are you going to do with him? You're going to kick him out of the church. And if you have any sense, you're not going to go shopping with him the next week. Okay, you're going to treat him like what? A heathen. Now that's terrible, isn't it? Again, we've had court cases and people use our church in your court cases to try and make you look bad. And they'll say they believe in shunning. Now, I said this recently. We do believe in shunning. I don't care whether the judge over in Porter County agrees with it. The Bible just taught it right here, didn't it? The Bible taught it. Now, again, that's what you do. You say, that sounds terrible to the community. We aren't answerable to the community. And let me tell you something. This world, this nation's getting worse by the day. And as it gets worse, what does that mean about you? You better get stronger by the day. Because you got nothing to depend on out there. You just better get stronger yourself. And our church better get stronger. And our church is going to have battles, and we're going to have people say that we don't act Christian. This is our guidebook, though, right here. It's not a judge at the Porter County courthouse. This is our guidebook, and we go by our guidebook. So, okay. What do you do? Okay, you have a problem. You go, and like I say, 85, 90% of them, you go to them and you say, in the right sense. I want to be your friend, and I want to get this. I want to talk about this. It gets taken care of if you handle it correctly. But then they say no, and then the pastor goes. Then the other 10, 12%, it's just a small, tiny percentage when they'll say, yeah, that's what I said, and tough, you know, or I'm going to, or maybe I've had people say, yes, I'm sorry, I'm going to stop, but they don't stop, you see. And then we have to vote them out of the church. Now, you probably can't remember the last time we voted people out of the church for this, because it's handled well. The Bible works, okay? But sometime it has to be taken care of. How many remember Jimmy Baker? All the older people, you young people don't know. Tammy Faye Baker. Oh, what a joke. These are Christian televangelists. How about Jimmy Swaggart? How many remember Jimmy Swaggart? Okay. All the older people remember them. Televangelists, Pentecostals, and real, make fools of themselves and make me ashamed. But what are they most known for? Adultery. Okay, adultery. Now, did they have to be known for that? If they believe in the church, their problem was they didn't believe in the church. They were they were it. They were TV evangelists. But if they believed in the church could handle it, and it wouldn't have got on the front pages of the papers and everybody and their brother laughing about it. You understand? Isn't that a beautiful illustration of what I'm talking about right here? Bill Gothard. How many remember that name, Bill Gothard? Okay, he was thought of as more of a Bible believer, but the same thing happened to him. I'll use an example. His brother, who was part of the organization, was having sex with all kinds of women. And the women came to them. It's just like what happened at First Baptist of Hammond. The women came, and they wouldn't do anything about it. And they just covered it up. And so the women ended up taking him to court, taking the organization to court. You got it? Again, their problem was they weren't a church. See, if it was handled by a church and somebody's, you know, messing around like that, and they come to the pastor, they come to people, then if you handle it correctly, it's not going to get in the newspapers. You follow what I'm saying? It gets handled by the church. Okay, back to 1 Corinthians 6, verses 7 and 8. It's a selfless principle. Verses 7 and 8. Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Okay? Why do you want to let your dirty wash be out in the public? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? You get that word, defrauded? That's a strong word. Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. It says you ought to suffer wrong. The church had suffered a loss of respect and a loss of spiritual power because of them hauling one another into court. And Paul recommends here to take the wrong rather than go to civil court. And again, look at the word be defrauded. It's such a strong word. It means to be robbed. Paul's not excusing those that defraud others. He's offering a higher, more spiritual way. Now, this church has a couple of good examples of this. One, there was a man in the church that stole, by his own admission to me, over $100,000. And we, of course, voted him out of the church, et cetera, et cetera. He did a lot of other wrong things. But he signed a paper saying he would pay it back so much a month. And he did that for the first $25,000. And then he flaunted it. Now you can say, why didn't you go get him? Why didn't you take him to court? Because it would have been on the front page of the Chesterton Tribune. That's why. And God took care of him. He's been in prison for several years now because, you know, they don't stop this kind of stuff. He's been in prison for stealing from old people, you know, the same thing. But here's one that's even bigger that frosted us even more. It's a complicated thing, but a man owed us $600,000. And like I say, it's complicated, but I'm convinced if we would have taken him to court, he would have to pay us. I mean, it was a contract to pay us, I believe it was $35,000 a year. And he just, in fact, he went to another college, and I called the pastor. This shows what happens. I called the pastor, head of the college, and he said, oh, I won't have to pay him as much if he's going to have all this extra money. Now, in the flesh, I wanted to nail that guy to the wall. But it would have been all in the newspapers. And that's exactly what this is talking about, isn't it? It's exactly what it's talking about. So we ate the $35,000 every year for a lot of years. All the interest, everything, $35,000 a year. We ate. And I was thinking when I was going over this lesson, I couldn't put my finger right on it, but I believe that our church began to prosper right about that time. God takes care of you. You say, that's not right. No, it's not right. I would want to beat it out of him. Okay, that's my flesh. I would have wanted to beat it out of him. You say, that's wrong. Oh, it's wrong. See my flesh? So what I'm trying to say is I'm not saying it's something I wanted to do or we wanted to do, but it's something we felt was scriptural to do. Okay? And God blesses. God takes care of it. 1 Peter 2:23 says, who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. You don't even have to take your problems to the church all the time. But again, what about criminal matters? What if he takes your livelihood and you can't provide for your own, and you just can't simply write it off? Then it may become a judicial matter. If someone commits some other criminal or civil offense against us, we may have to go to criminal court. There are times. And 1 Peter 2:13 and 14 says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto to them that sent unto them that are sent by him for punishment of evildoers. God's ordained civil authority as well as the church. And when it comes to the place where the church's hands are tied, then we may have to go to civil authority. Now, you understand, I think, where the line is. If God's name is going to be dragged through the mud, that's when you really have to pray and really think it through. A believer, though, who will not permit the church to judge a matter, then the court may be the right place, even the loving thing, so that justice can be satisfied. And so you take the loss first, you take it to the church, and if you go to court, it might be the best thing. Let's take sexual crimes against children. You better take it to court. Okay? Something like that. I'm probably goofy saying this because then you won't come to me as your pastor, but you come to me and you say you're doing that, I'm taking you right to the sheriff. Because that's where you belong. Give you an illustration. Maybe some slick businessman in the church steals money and the church is going to go under and you can't pay the bondholders. We had bondholders for years and they're going to go under. I think you have to sue. There's times when you're going to have to do it. A professing Christian one day steals his brother's chicken. And then later he steals his brother's cow. And then he steals his food. Now there are some that would say you should never go to court. Now, I think that's wrong. The Bible doesn't teach that. He'll end up stealing his wife. Okay, there's time to go to court. If somebody comes to my house, there's a big gun debate. And, you know, have you heard that newspaper out there publish the names in New York and that liberal state? I'll publish it. I have guns, plural. Big guns. Lots of bullets. Now, you come into my house and you're going to hurt my family in particular, I'm going to use my big gun. Okay? I'm not going to ask if you're a Christian. I'm going to use my big gun. Boom. But Paul is urging Christians to the Corinthians there to suffer wrong. But when they act like heathen, you got to treat them like a heathen. Again, a man owes you money, you can't pay your bills, you can't feed your kids, then you're going to have to take him to court. Got the balance? To me, it's pretty clear. I'm pretty simplistic in my thinking, and I think that's why I do well with all of you. If it's going to hurt the cause of God, you don't do it. If it's going to hurt, you're not going to pay your bills or feed your family, something like that, then you do it. You weigh that. But the Bible tells us exactly how to do it. Okay? I think it's pretty simple, really. Any prayer requests that are not on the sheet? Anything not on the sheet? Again, deacons, don't forget, I want to meet with all of you. The staff doesn't need to come there. Then they know what we're going to talk about. Okay, you're dismissed your prayer groups.